Hi there, it's Dr. Linda Papadopoulos with The Psychology Behind, the podcast that every week looks at a different issue in psychology and mental health. Now, this week, in honor of Valentine's Day, I want to speak about mastering a first date. Now, first things first, let's talk about the, sort of the whole concept of a relationship. I think one of the more unhelpful ideas that we have about relationships in general is that we think of them like they're a meritocracy, that being in one means that you somehow have more value or worth, and that if you haven't found that ideal partner, that you're somehow lacking, that you're doing something wrong, or worse yet, that there is something wrong with you. I think that dealing with the ridiculousness of that idea needs to be a first step before any date. The fact is, we all know some pretty awesome people that are single and some not so great people that are in relationships. Meeting the one oftentimes has a lot more to do with proximity and serendipity and less to do with one's worth as a human being. So, with that in mind, let's kind of think a little bit more about why dating has become so complex. Now, I think the advent of dating apps has further reinforced this idea in our minds, right? I want to note here that I believe there is a big difference between dating and relationship apps. In fact, I think there is a genuine value in good relationship apps that get you to think about who you are and why you want what you want, and that use personality metrics to help assess compatibility in ways that are researched and possibly in ways that we can't immediately do ourselves. I think this is very different to the architecture of a lot of the dating apps out there, though, which are more or less really, you know, the same as shopping apps, right? There's a marketplace where you're not so much looking for compatibility as you are shopping around for the best deal you can get at the moment. You know, with a no quibble returns policy, which means that the minute something doesn't fit your preconceived notion of a good date, you just move on to the next one. Actually, worse than that, I think in a lot of cases, people don't even engage properly with the person they're interacting with because they're distracted by the many other singles that they could be interacting with instead. So it's no surprise, therefore, that we find ourselves worrying about first dates. The way to manage them is to keep perspective. Yes, a first date can be the start of an amazing romance, but it's okay if it's not. The whole point of the date is to learn about the person, but also critically, it's about creating an experience together, one that gives you some insight into yourself and the other person and your joint compatibility. And a word of caution here. While of course getting those butterflies when we start off is great, research actually finds that while we're good at identifying short-term attraction, we're actually not that great at spotting long-term compatibility. The thing is that when we're trying to figure out if we're compatible with someone, we need to focus on the right information. But on first dates, we often use the wrong information. When we date, we focus on the basics: how someone looks, if they like how we look, if they're nearby. Now, while this is a great start, the stuff that's predictive of long-term success are things like having a similar worldview when it comes to things like career and family, or sharing a similar moral compass, or how you resolve conflict and communicate difficult feelings. And a lot of this stuff you aren't going to get on a first date. But what you can do is maximize the chance that you meet someone that's worth meeting again, or call it a day if it's just not going to happen. So sit back, relax, and listen to 5 things that you can do to make that first date a little bit easier. Number 1. Go in calm and confident. Now, I know that this is easier said than done, but taking time before the date to get rid of stress is a really good idea. Whether it's going to the gym, chatting through conversation topics with a friend, or choosing an outfit that you feel confident in, it will really help if you set yourself up to not have to worry about stuff that is in your control. And there's quite a bit in our control. For example, think about where you'll have the first date. Perhaps like dinner seems a bit much, right? So instead, choose a place that you're familiar with and comfortable in. Also, try not to put too much pressure on yourself time-wise, so no 3-course dinners. Instead, keep it simple so you can leave if it's not working and stick around a little bit longer if it is. Secondly, listen actively. When we're anxious, one of the things that we tend to do is speak too much. And the thing is, if you're talking, well, you aren't listening. So don't feel the need to fill every pause with the first thing that pops into your mind. Likewise, you will of course want to share things about yourself, and that's great, but it needs to be two-way traffic. Show interest in your date. Ask questions about values and feelings rather than just facts. And you know, try not to ask closed-ended sort of yes or no questions like, I don't know, like do you work in marketing? Instead, try using open-ended questions like, how did you get into your job? What do you like about it? What attracted you to it? And really listen to what your date is saying, because the other thing I think we do when we're anxious is that we stop listening to the other person and just think about what we're going to say next. Don't do this. It'll make you look like you're not engaged and it'll stifle the conversation. Instead, really be there. Listen to what's being shared and the conversation will flow much easier. Number three, beware of your body language. First, do the basics. Make good eye contact. And by good eye contact, I don't mean creepy, I'm staring at you constantly in the eyes kind of eye contact, but rather the sort of I'm interested and sincere so can look you in the eye intermittently kind of eye contact. Have an open body stance so you aren't crossing your arms or sitting hunched over, because that can make the other person feel like you're guarded. And also, research suggests that it's important to kind of fill up the space around you. You know, people that have hand gestures and kind of an expansive posture are often seen as more attractive than people that kind of really, you know, sit still like a statue. And probably it's because this denotes, again, a sense of engagement, but also confidence. And here's the thing, showing that you're engaged, that you're paying attention is key in relationships. John Gottman, who has arguably done more research into couples than I think anyone else out there, talks about the importance of how people attend to one another. He talks about something he calls bids for attention. He explains bids something like this. Say, for example, you know, your partner, I don't know, really loves a sport, right? And points out a great penalty that's being taken on TV. Now, their other half can do two things. They can turn away and sort of kind of ignore what's being said or not really engage, or they could turn towards this bid for attention by really looking and listening and sharing interest. And the research on how we react to bids is really interesting, with one of Gottman's studies concluding that couples who divorced after 6 years had the turn toward reply only 33% of the time, and the couples that were still together had the turn toward reply 87% of the time. So even on a first date, try and engage, but also critically look at how the person across from the table reacts to your bids for attention too, as this can be really telling. Number four, assess where they're at in life. On a first date, it's useful to get a sense of where people are in their life journey. Looking at someone's values, what they're investing their time doing, and their emotional maturity is important in terms of conceptualizing whether you're on the same page in terms of you know, how you're perceiving the relationship. Now, you don't have to get too heavy, but talk about what their short-term goals are, and also what their, you know, get an idea of what their hopes and plans are, and see if you, you know, in some way line up with them in terms of what you want out of life. Finally, have fun and get your exit right too. Dating should be fun. The worst thing that'll happen is that it doesn't work out and you've given up, you know, half an hour of your life. Remember that finding the one happens for most of us eventually, so don't feel down if this time it didn't work. Instead, stay positive. Even if this particular date was disappointing, don't let it make you feel disappointed in the whole process of meeting people and dating itself, because like anything else that we do in life, from finding a career we love to a friendship group we feel at home in, it takes time, patience, and perseverance. So try and enjoy yourself, enjoy that date, and have some fun. So I hope that's helped, and I hope you have an amazing first or second or 100th date if you're going on one. In the meantime, thank you so much for all your wonderful messages. I love to get them. You know the drill by now. Share the podcast if you're liking it. You know, message me, tell me what you know you want to hear next. And until we meet again, I wish you a very healthy, happy body and mind.